China is mad at the U.S.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. China doesn't like being told what to do or being pressured into anything. So you can imagine how the Chinese are reacting to this. Yesterday, the U.S. said it was filing two complaints with the World Trade Organization. This is about China's failure to stop piracy of American music, movies, and books. Daniel Scharf is a freelance journalist in Beijing. He says China is taking steps to combat intellectual piracy.
The problem is they're moving slowly, and they're moving slower than the U.S. wants them to move. They're moving slower than a lot of European countries want them to move. But it is a slow process. They're not wanting to disrupt a lot of the market action here on the ground. They're not wanting to cause too many sudden changes. One of the things that the Chinese government is very concerned about is sudden changes, especially when it comes to the economy, which the government relies on and the Chinese Communist Party relies on for its legitimacy.
And in fact, the Chinese government said the WTO complaints would seriously damage the trade relationship between the U.S. and China. There are ways to find pirated videos on YouTube, software programs that search for names and titles. But people can get around that. For example, a David Letterman clip. They might call Letterman the gap-tooth one instead of using his name. But now there's something new. Janet Babin reports from our innovations desk at North Carolina Public Radio.
The latest program is from Autonomy Corporation. Instead of depending on a name tag to ferret out infringing material, the software actually watches the video. Autonomy CEO Mike Lynch.
And if it sees something which sort of vaguely matches, then it will actually go back and start to think about it a lot more deeply and do much more close matching.
Lynch says a large monitoring program costs about $500,000. That could be cheaper than hiring employees. But James McQuivy with Forrester Research says cost isn't the point. He says YouTube and other companies believe the law doesn't require them to search for infringing material, only take it down when notified. And a thorough search might open up another can of worms.
If they're willing to admit that they have to look at their videos more closely, maybe we could look at the other things that they search and sell advertisements against.
Like that picture of your backyard on Google Earth that the company places next to its online ads. Should they pay you for that? I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
It was a mixed day for the stock markets. The Dow climbed 8 points to 12,569, but the Nasdaq fell a couple to 2469. The S&P 500 added less than a point. Japan's Nikkei dropped 0.5% today, but European shares are up a little so far. Another earnings season begins today on Wall Street. As usual, Dow component Alcoa will turn in the first results. Sounds like Alcoa had a strong first quarter, thanks to higher aluminum prices. But for companies overall, many people think the profit party is about over. Here's Amy Scott.
Analysts expect members of the S&P 500 to report that their first quarter profits grew by about 3.5%. Sounds like a fine number until you consider that the same companies have turned in double-digit growth for the last 14 consecutive quarters.
You just can't grow double digits forever. Just goes against the laws of science.
That's market strategist Jim Paulson with Wells Capital Management. He says a slower economy is bringing corporate profits back down to earth. But strategist Art Hogan with Jefferies & Company says investors shouldn't worry.
We're not talking about going at sort of, you know, a recession, if you will. This is just earnings growth deceleration, and it's perfectly healthy and part of the normal business cycle.
One that Wall Street may have absorbed already. Strategist Jim Paulson says worries about corporate earnings helped trigger last quarter's stock market turmoil. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By the Duke Executive MBA, developing leaders and accelerating careers around the world with 4 top-ranked executive MBA programs for working professionals. DukeExecutiveMBA.com. And by A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years with a commitment to provide objective financial advice.
So maybe you're doing your taxes this week. States are doing their taxes as well. And for most of them, things don't look too bad. But it was a different story a few years ago. States were cutting budgets left and right, and one of the biggest casualties was the arts. As Stacey Vanek-Smith tells us, the money is coming back.
And this is the Hall of African Mammals.
In Night at the Museum, night watchman Ben Stiller discovers the animals in the famed New York Museum of Natural History come to life after hours.
This is a museum. I cannot tolerate this type of chaos.
But some real chaos hit arts institutions between 2002 and 2003. That's when state funding for the arts tanked 13%. California and Massachusetts cut budgets by more than half. Other states threatened to cut arts funding entirely. Randy Cohen is with Americans for the Arts, an advocacy group based in Washington, D.C. He says most arts institutions need state help.
The typical nonprofit arts organization only derives half its revenue from ticket sales and advertising. In order to make those cultural products accessible to the community, it's very important that government play a role in supporting the arts in their states.
The state cuts left arts institutions across the country in dire straits. Theaters, ballets, and museums slashed programs and staff. But now the money is back. Between 2006 and 2007, states boosted arts funding by 10%. Cohen says states realize the arts are a dynamic investment for local economies.
Nationally, the nonprofit arts industry generates about $24.5 billion in government revenue at the local, state, and federal levels, which is a considerable return since if you add up their investments, it's about $3 billion.
That's everything from tourism dollars to job creation. The private sector's done its part as well. Auction houses Sotheby's and Christie's have been raking in record profits, and that means donors are in the mood to give. Eileen Kinsella is with the Art Newsletter.
The broad interest in art and the rise in value has spilled over to them in a positive way in terms of the support that they get from trustees, who many of themselves are major collectors.
Things look even brighter this year. After the budget dust is settled, states are expected to pour the better part of $500 million into the arts. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.